Our guest is Larry Hu, head of China Economics at Macquarie Group. Larry, lots of time to talk about China and the Asia Pacific, but I do want to ask you about these comments from Fed officials, and I don't think we want to make too much of it, but they're talking about, you know, being somewhat concerned about what's happening globally, and they also are saying that they're concerned about financial conditions. Could that be one reason why we're seeing a little bit of a let up in some of the risk-off tone in markets?
Yes, definitely. I think now, as a China economist, for China, it faces a lot of uncertainties. But of course, the Fed hiking cycle and the tightened financial condition globally definitely is a headwind faced by China today, which gonna, on one hand, impact the market risk appetite, also, gonna impact China exports later on.
What is happening, too, is this very strong dollar, and that is feeding through into Asian currencies. We've got the yuan near a 14-year low, inviting more aggressive pushback from authorities in China. What are you expecting to see from the central bank?
I would say so far the intervention has been pretty mild because the weakness of yuan is mainly driven by the strong dollar. If you look at the yuan against a basket of currency, it has remained pretty steady so far this year. But of course, if the yuan continue to weaken, we're probably going to see more intervention, more powerful intervention from policymakers. For instance, they can use the so-called counter-cyclical factor, which means that make the daily fixing a bit stronger than usual to send the market a very strong signal that PBOC want a stable yuan instead of a sharp depreciation.
So this has been a really strong risk-off market. There's a couple of huge pivots that are out there that will happen at some point, but when we don't know. One is China perhaps easing up on COVID zero. Maybe the experiment that we see in Hong Kong is a forerunner to that. And the second big pivot would be that the Fed says, okay, we can take a pause here. Which of those two do you think happens first and about when?
Well, that's a very hard call. The visibility is pretty low. But our house view is that the Fed probably gonna pause in first quarter next year, and given the U.S. economy slow down quickly. And for China side, my base case is that we're gonna see some gradually loosening in zero COVID policy after the Party Congress. China is unlikely to live with COVID overnight, but I think they still can, loosen a bit on the margin, regarding the current zero COVID policy. Yeah. And I think there is a third pivot could happen, which means that China policy action, policy easing could be more decisive.
Larry, we've been talking about a lot of the headwinds that the China economy is facing, and we know about property, we know about COVID. You're also saying the population and the aging population is something we should be watching closely.
That's more about the long-term structural thing, right? So I would say the long-term structural issue for China is, two biggest one is the, as you said, one is the aging population, and the other is whether China could have moving to a new growth model, which is less driven by investment, right? But I would say the cyclical part, as you mentioned, mainly from the zero COVID side and property side.
Larry, we talked about the Macau opening a little bit yesterday. It's not a huge thing, but announcing that group tours would be facilitated as soon as November. And although it may not affect the casino names themselves, so those stocks rebounded. So I know you're an economist. I only mention that because it shows you that people, investors, everybody is waiting on some sign that we're going to get some loosening. Now, I know that you're thinking that COVID zero, it's impossible for them to change that. But they can do other things like they did with Macau. Are you looking for other measures to really increase the animal spirits in China?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that I think they're going to change zero COVID one day, but just in a gradual way, right? In the sense that China is not going to live with COVID overnight because it takes a lot more towards that, for instance, at least, you know, some change in propaganda tone, right? But I do think that, you know, as you said, some loosening in zero COVID is very important to the animal spirit, because that's closely related to the consumption side in China. And, you know, consumption accounts for 55% of China's economy. That's a big, and so far this year, it has no growth, right? That's a big drag to the Chinese economy.
That's not likely to really change the needle until next year, though. What are your forecasts for 2023 when we see the likes of Goldman slashing their 2023 forecast for China's growth?
Well, at this moment, I expect China to grow 5.5% for next year. I think in large part because the base this year is very low, and I think China could do more in losing zero COVID policy to boost the consumption and do more to support the property sector. But of course, for next year, the visibility is pretty low. It really depends on what they're going to do after the Party Congress.
Yeah, the Party Congress coming up, and a story that we haven't really talked about too much, but I think it's something we need to at least raise today, and perhaps with you is best. Xi Jinping hasn't been seen in public for about 10 days or so. Any significance at all?
Well, I don't have strong insights on this issue, and we're going to continue to watch when he's going to appear again.
And looking to the Party Congress, I mean, you've mentioned what you think could potentially be a little bit of an easing in some of those dynamic zero COVID, zero policies. What else is really needed in terms of a tangible move here? We mentioned the property sector, but just really trying to bring the economy up.
Well, I think what really needed at this moment is two things. One is zero COVID policy, which related to consumption. And the other is, I would say, probably an escalation of policy stimulus from here, right? So far this year, you know, given the downward pressure, we do see, you know, China policymakers roll out more and more policy easing, but so far they have largely played catch up instead of, you know, be very proactive. It's a bit different from what they did in the past, right? So I would think that after the Party Congress, probably they're going to have the time and the freedom to do more in terms of policy easing from here.
Yeah, our headline from Bloomberg Intelligence is that the Communist Party Congress is limited a little bit by the Fed. So let me ask you that question I posed before the break. What's the Fed going to break next? Let me give you three choices, okay? Basically, what's looming is corporate earnings, and secondly, jobs, and then the U.S. economy itself.
Well, you know, I don't really have, you know, strong insights on the U.S. economy, so probably I cannot give you the exact answer. But for me, I think for China, probably the main impact is on exports. So I think in the next 6 to 12 months, is China exports going to continue to trend down.
All right. Great to have you with us, Larry. Larry Hu, head of China Economics at Macquarie Group in our Hong Kong studio alongside Brian.